Hey, let's get the hour rolling like we do each Tuesday by welcoming back to the show our friend, the hardworking writer and critic, Colin Fleming. Colin, good to have you back with us. How are you feeling?
Oh, I don't know. I get something wrong with me here. I'm hoping it's not the pneumonia descending upon me again.
Yeah, I saw on social media you weren't even able to tackle the monument, huh?
Oh no, it was a large plate full of humble pie when I had to retreat, not having even gotten up a third time. And for me to do that, I pretty much have to be on the verge of passing out, which I'm not really worried about from a health standpoint so much as I'm worried about waking up and someone leaning over me, "Are you okay, sir?" and being sufficiently mortified. I don't like being embarrassed like that, so I retreated.
I understand you completely. Well, we hope you're feeling better. You got a wonderful piece recently in USA Today on the NFL's confused anthem policy that seems to be under constant revision, but you've got a pretty important question here, and that is, why play the anthem at all at what essentially is a form of entertainment?
Sure. It's interesting to me that people always kind of want to default this to an NFL thing, and I think that's because the anthem issue is so central there, and you say, like, well, why is it so central to the NFL? And really, I think the only reason is because the ritualistic nature of the sport, the scheduling, is such that it's once a week. Like, you couldn't have it in baseball, you couldn't have it in basketball, so I think it comes down to the fact that it's spaced apart like it is, but you know how, like, in life, certain questions really become statements. If you ask a question about something, what you're really saying is it could be this or it could be that. And it doesn't bother me personally that the anthem is played, or it wouldn't bother me if it wasn't played. I think the larger issue is this idea that, why is it played? Why do we overvalue sports like we do in our society? Like, it's not feasible when you go to the movies for the revival of Touch of Evil, for the anthem to sound before Charlton Heston does his thing on the screen, and yet we overvalue sports in a way, and it's leisure, it's downtime. It's supposed to be something that reminds you of what is important. It's your respite, and I don't see how there's any more reason to play the anthem before a sporting event than there is when you head out into your backyard for the barbecue and it's cornhole time, baby.
Yeah, of course, a lot of this, too, is because the government and the Defense Department also shuffled a whole bunch of money to the NFL to play that anthem, get those teams out on the field, and use those weekly games as a recruiting tool.
Right. And I guess what sometimes people would say is, like, look, with the anthem, if you want to kneel or you don't want to kneel, for instance, something like that, I don't think that really matters. That's sort of in the spirit of the anthem itself. But we also have to have some priorities here. We are paying, people are being paid millions and millions and millions of dollars to engage in childhood games, really. And I'm not saying that the middle school teacher should get that kind of salary, because obviously this is driven by supply and demand, but it's completely out of whack to me. And I think the sort of value of kneeling for an anthem loses currency once it's done that first time, because we live in a grandstanding age where people do things, and we know this because they wish to say, "Ha-ha, look at me. I am one of the good ones." And if you are someone who has that kind of platform and you have all of that money, and because things are backwards, people will pay more attention to you than if Socrates came back from the dead right now or Plato strolled out of a cave, put your time into it. Give your energy. Get a website and share your feelings. And people will say, like, well, Colin Kaepernick, look what happened with him. He was really kind of a fringe NFL backup quarterback anyway. That could have gone either way. Let's see whomever it might be, the all-pro linebacker, the all-pro tight end. Start a website, right? Share your feelings. But no, that takes time or energy, and anyone can take 60 seconds to just be on their knee.
Well, and the irony of this to me, before it became a thing here in America, is if you go to any kind of sporting event and look around during the national anthem, and I feel like three-quarters of the people are talking, hooting and hollering, they've got hats on. There has never been, at least in my recent memory, any great level of respect for the anthem by the people in attendance at those games.
It's something to get through, in a way.
Yeah.
It's just something that, it's like the seventh inning stretch, almost. Like, I go to a lot of, like, BC women's hockey games, and it's me and nine people in the stands, and they play the CD of the anthem, and it does feel a little silly. And maybe it would feel, like, less silly if there were other recreational areas of life where this happened. Like, I get that it's being played for the graduation ceremony at Army. And I think that's in the spirit of the musical piece. When it just becomes something that is oral wallpaper that we take for granted, you're undercutting the anthem itself and what it is supposed to mean. So I don't see why we say, you know what, above all, beyond all, sports deserves this honorific. I don't think it really merits the honorific. Like, if your team winning a game makes you more than mildly happy in, like, the moments after, if you're sitting up until 1 o'clock and you watch the Red Sox state glorious comeback against the Yankees, if it's more than that, you have other things that you need to address in your life. Or if you're that upset over a playoff loss when the Patriots bow out in the championship round, again, it's priorities. Sports aren't, they're not paradigms in and of themselves, but they underscore paradigms. They're great for contrast, for making you realize what does matter far more.
So you would argue, and I think pretty convincingly, that the anthem loses value when we play it for these fairly meaningless games, and that it ought to be reserved for, as you say, matters of far greater consequence.
I think the issue that needs to sort of transpire is that the question simply has to be asked. The policy isn't necessarily in need of change, but we have to make sort of the epiphany flash before our eyes, calling this into question. Again, a question is a statement. I could understand if you are someone who's a Vietnam veteran and you go to these games and, like, your nephew or someone is out there playing and the anthem represents to you the fact that they're able to do so and you're cool with that. I totally get that. Just as I could totally understand someone who is a veteran being at the ball game, watching people fiddle with their phones while the anthem is being played, having the reaction of, like, you know what, this doesn't belong here. This belonged when I was getting a Purple Heart or something. Mm. So the way we're devaluing this is not right. I almost wonder, like, have a moratorium on it for, like, a year or two or something like that. But the bigger issue to me, far more, is kind of this notion of to kneel or not to kneel. And it's like, you know what? It is hard to be a good person and to do the heavy lifting of that. And everyone right now, from politicians to athletes to anyone who gets their 15 minutes of fame over some alleged profiling or whatever it may be, they're going for the grandstanding. You know what? It's like when people tell me, oh, I'm a writer. It's like, no, you're not a writer. You're not up at 4:30 in the morning on a Saturday like I am. You're not working 130 hours a week. You're kind of just like, oh, you know, I'm going to talk about it a little bit, and I'm going to workshop with my little crony. That's not being a writer. It's the time. It's the energy. And people say there's nothing more important than time. No, there's nothing more important than what you choose to give your energy to. Your energy is your essence. It's everything you are. And why am I not seeing tomes and websites and all of this from these athletes? I'm kneeling right now as we speak. I mean, what does that really mean? Picking up something off the ground, I don't think it's hugely significant.
But I do think there's grandstanding all around. It's not just the players. Obviously, the president is using it and doing some grandstanding with it. And the NFL has embraced this because they have tried so hard to wrap their game in the flag and to make it America's game and to use the anthem and everything that goes with it to present their game as being the essence of what is patriotic and wonderfully American. At a time when, of course, yeah, players are out abusing spouses and girlfriends and kids, and players are drooling in their soup at 45 years old because of CTE, but wrap it all in the flag and everything's okay.
Well, with terms of the CTE, there's risks with anything. If you don't want to be paid $15 million a year to do stuff with a misshapen orb, you can do something else in life that's not going to cause you CTE. There was risks to be Edgar Allan Poe and dedicate your life to trying to help others live better. There are risks to anything. That's one of the risks with sports, and I feel like people have a pretty good idea of that right now. But yes, it's very Brett Favre. It's wrap yourself in a flag, strap on some Wranglers, and get a Jeep. And that's one of the reasons why football is successful for the time being. I see a sport that each year, in my mind, strikes me as less of a sport and more of a sort of gladiatorial concept.
Absolutely.
I don't see the nuance I see in something like hockey or baseball, where we're not talking like Proustian level of like plotting, but you have to understand the game to be able to appreciate sitting down for that Red Sox-Yankees game for 3 hours. And with football, you don't really. And a lot of the strategy has come out of the game. It's kind of that chuck it down the field, and I find that it becomes almost this anti-sport, which is predicated upon its infrequency. That it's just that once a week. If we had to tune in and focus on it for multiple days in a row for our team, it would become even harder, I think. It would tax our attention spans because it's not really worthy of our attention spans. But everything is grandstanding. It's like when the devil was up in heaven in the Bible or whatever, like, he's kind of one of the ones who belongs there, but yet he's supposed to be the worst being ever, which just goes to show the entire point of the person writing that text is like, hey, this extreme A and this extreme Z, they're probably not the extremes that you think they are. And everyone has their motives and agendas. They just use different, like, proper nouns, really.
We're talking with Colin Fleming. You can read his piece at usatoday.com. And you mentioned the Red Sox. You were there till the bitter end on Sunday night. Are you all in on this team now?
Well, I was on my bed until the bitter end. But, yeah, it was that moment kind of where I thought there's something special happening here. And I would say that that kind of thinking doesn't just happen when, like, a team's going to make the playoffs or win a division. It's more like once every 5, 10, 20 years type of thing. I remember watching the 2013 Red Sox, and they lost some game, like, in June, and they were down 9-1, and they battled back, like, 9-8. And I just was thinking, wow, this team has unreal, transcendent fight in them. And when I saw that game the other night at 1 in the morning, you know what really stuck out to me is the fact that Fenway Park was still full.
Yeah.
And when that is happening on a Sunday night and it's that late, you have a team that is firing people's imaginations, and that is uncommon. Because here in Boston, the talk all the time, I tire of it, is Patriots. No matter what the Red Sox are doing right now, they can be surging. It's all about Patriots. And it was like where I could see this kind of change to the timbre of things, where it's like, huh, these Red Sox are starting to get into people's heads, and they're feeling it. They're believing in themselves. They have a better mix this year with the manager, and I think it's their time.
Read more of Colin's work at ColinFlemingLit.com. Colin, always a pleasure to talk with you. Hope you're feeling better soon, my friend, and we'll check in with you again next week.
Oh, thank you. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.